Good morning. Welcome to the chapel.
Very good. Good job, man. Good. All right. So as Asher said, good morning. We're so glad that you chose Johnson Chapel Baptist Church as the local congregation for you to come and worship the Lord this morning. This morning is Youth Sunday, so this is our 6th through 12th graders of our church. We'll be leading the service. The order of service reflects at least generally the order of service that we follow on Wednesday nights, which is not at all like what we do upstairs on Sunday mornings. So it kind of is intended to reflect that so you guys can see a little bit of what we do on Wednesday nights in youth group. So this morning's service will be a little bit different, but I encourage you to engage with the youth this morning. During the parts where you can interact and participate, I pray that you do that. And I pray that your heart is encouraged and drawn to worship to the Lord this morning, because we do want to recognize the youth for their hard work this morning, but most importantly, we want to lift high the name of Jesus Christ and honor Him this morning.
Hello, my name is Josiah Richardson, and I want to welcome you to Johnson Chapel Baptist Church. If you are a visitor here with us today, I encourage you to take a welcome card from the pew in front of you and fill that out. Then take the card to the Welcome Center at the end of the service to receive a small gift and learn a little bit more about our church. Or you can directly put the welcome card into the offering plate. In just a moment, the Youth Praise Band will lead us into worship. And before they do that, I would like to begin our service by reading from 1 Corinthians 15, 54-58. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sin, your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain.
Ooh, there's a lot of people out here. Whew. I don't know how people do this. Okay. Hi, my name is Dee Dee Bradley McKenzie. I've been here since 1973. That's the only thing I can remember, as far back as I can remember. By raise of hand, who knows me? Who had me in nursery? Who had me in cubbies? Who had me in youth group? I'm sorry, Jim. Who had me in choir? Jim had a double duo on that one. I'm sorry. I know I was probably a handful, but growing up, my mom always had me in frilly dresses and my hair and pigtails and patent leather shoes, you know. But when I got older, you know, I was a handful. Still am. But secondly, after I want to say I'm sorry for all that I put you through, I wouldn't be who I am today without the prayers and supplication of each and everyone in here. Through the birth, death, burial, and resurrection, I know Jesus Christ is my Savior. I stand here in firm foundation knowing what I know, and I know where I'm going. As I stand here with the youth today, I've had the opportunity of being with each and every one of these kids from nursery to cubbies, to crew and aero, teens, TNT, and now youth. I have each a relationship with each one of these kids. I take it as a pleasure and an honor, knowing that through the prayers and supplication of this church, I'm able to stand here today with them. I'm very proud of each and every one of these kids, and what you see today on this stage is amazing. Through the last giggles and tears, and through a little bit of pushing me into a ball of pit at one of the trampoline parks, I'm pretty sure the kids have enjoyed me through many different ways. We've cried, we've laughed, And we've had a lot of high fives, and our faces have been pied. I want to thank each of one of the leaders here today for coming along and letting me come into this youth group and being able to be a leader with them. I sure do appreciate it. Sarah, thank you for standing by me and believing in me. And now James. You know, I saved the best for last. What do I like about James? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. That's not true. He seriously takes his job very honorably. He's very devoted to each one of these kids. He treats them as their own. My kids know him, you know, and we live right, but they live behind us, so we've been able to have them a part of our family. I'm very thankful for that. But first and foremost, he prays for these kids, and he tries to administer as much as he can so that they can share the gospel to the people in their neighborhood, in their family, in their schools. Seeing how they work at Amy's House of Hope is just amazing. Heaven Sent Ministries, they take it very seriously. Yes, we have a lot of fun and we have a lot of laughters, but there's a lot of serious times too. Being able to be with them on the missions trip last year, we didn't get to go anywhere, but we stayed here. And fundamentally, it was probably one of the best missions trips I've been able to be in with, especially with doing a lot of the sharing of the gospel with a lot of little kids. My verse that I stand on is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And me and Asher's verse is Psalms 113:14. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well that you will be good. I don't see how y'all do this every day. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. He sure has answered my desires in my heart. I'm in a church that I'm fully well loved, known, and I hope to continue on further.
Hi, I'm back again. My name is Josiah Richardson, and in case you forgot, I might have. And today I want to give my testimony about how prayer and trusting the Lord can keep a person in the center of God's will at all times. So many of you here today have known me my entire life. As you may recall, when I was 6 years old, I moved to France as my parents felt the calling to serve in missions there. From the very start of our family's journey to and in France, my parents have asked you for your prayer and support. And you all have done so in such an impactful way. I remember my parents asking you all to pray for Ezra and me as they moved us away from everything we knew and loved. And you came through. France is anti-religious at its core. They view religion as the problem with the world. As a Christian living in that environment, it was hard to live in a way that people are able to hear. The luxuries of a strong Christian community, local churches, and a supportive community are simply non-existent. In my 11 years of public school education in France, I couldn't name more than one Christian I knew in school. Keeping this in mind, I am sure many parents in here think my parents are a little crazy for having put my siblings and I through this craziness that is so far removed from the culture that we are so used to. And all I can say is that the Lord is sovereign and can take care of each and every one of us. Moreover, to fulfill the Great Commission, each person must trust God enough to protect them and do with them what is His will. Prayer and trust are our greatest shields from the adverse effects of being in an environment so opposed to Christianity. If I can leave you with one piece of advice today, it's that you should step out of your comfort zone to serve the Lord and simply trust the Lord to protect you and those you love. Whether that be by choosing to put your child in a public school or a community sports team, or as huge as moving to a foreign country, you have proof through your faith for me. You have proof through your prayer for me that faith in Christ does in fact work. Thus, that should give you strength to try similar things for yourself, notably to develop relationships with individuals with a different frame of mind, culture, religion, etc. Lastly, thank you for your continued thoughts, prayer, and support. Knowing I had your support meant the world to me as I learned to live in France and find a new home so far away.
Each week, Each week we have a time of announcements about our upcoming youth ministry activities. So here are the important youth ministry announcements for this week. We will plan on serving at the Hunger Challenge on April 2nd from 1:30 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. You must register online and the cost is $20. It needs to be paid on the day of the event. We will stay after the morning service to eat lunch and fellowship before we package. The high school mission trip will be to Bolivia to visit a few children's homes that Pastor Tom Maurer works with. There is a $150 deposit due today, Sunday, March 26th. If you are interested in going on the trip, you must see Pastor James. The middle school mission trip will be to Chauhan University in Murfreesboro, North Carolina, July 17th through 21st. It will be half camp and half mission trip. You need to register as soon as possible, and the $50 deposit is due on Sunday, April 23rd. You must see Pastor James to get the registration information. Those of you who earn the 500 points will go to the middle school mission trip for free and will get $375 off your high school mission trip. We have Quiet Time devotional books for sale for $20.
Now we will share some other announcements. If you are interested in being a part of the Easter Choir, please come to practice on Wednesday nights from 8:15 to 9 in the choir room. Alpine Junior Camp for kids 8 to 12 years old will be on July 17th through the 21st, and registration is now open. Please pick up a camp letter at the Welcome Center or email Pastor Jason for all the details.
The Mercer County Hunger Challenge is Friday, March 31st through Sunday, April 2nd. Registration is open online. Join as we gather to package 90,000 meals for starving children in South Sudan and other parts of the world. There is a DMA fellowship outing to Appalachian Bible College's Spring Music Festival on Friday, April 7th. See Jim Nalsinger to reserve your place. The March missions offering is going to John and Debbie Poe, who serve in Florida with Bautista Independiente, a Spanish publishing company, through Baptist Mid-Mission. Debbie had a successful liver transplant but continues to need regular medical care. They continue to faithfully serve the Lord, and their daughter Elizabeth was married last weekend.
So each week we have a Take Five for the Cause moment, which is 5 minutes where we just give the kids opportunities to share opportunities they have had to share the gospel or have spiritual conversations with family, friends, neighbors, and we just remind them to be praying that God would give them opportunity to share the gospel with their friends. And that is a major emphasis of what we do in youth group. Each year we have a time where we go over how to share their testimony and how to share the gospel as we begin each year, and then we try to give emphasis to that each Wednesday night. So I'd like to just take a moment right now and pray that God would remind us all and give us opportunity to share the gospel as we go through our lives. Father in heaven, we do thank you for this day. And Lord, I pray that this morning would be a good reminder for us all, Lord, of the opportunity we have to go and to make disciples. Lord, we all have family and friends and neighbors and people we interact with at work and other places in our lives. Lord, we ask that you'd help us to be conscious, to just be building genuine friendships with people and to be taking opportunities to have spiritual conversation, share the gospel, Lord, with those around us. Lord, our community is hurting and in need, and the only hope they have is a relationship with Jesus Christ. So, Lord, remind us this morning to be looking for those opportunities and taking those. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Each Wednesday during our prayer time, we pray for an unreached people group. Thank you. A country where our Christian brothers and sisters are persecuted, or one of our church's missionaries. One reason we pray for these three different things each Wednesday is because we want the youth to be regularly reminded about the billions of people who are unreached with the gospel. These are people who will be born, live, and die without ever hearing the name of Jesus and never have a clear presentation of the gospel. We also want the youth to be reminded to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ who live in countries where their safety is at risk because they have chosen to follow Jesus Christ. Then another reason we want our youth to be involved in praying for our missionaries and knowing about the needs in their lives and ministries as they serve in many different places around the world.
Pastor Lanya Garman, who is the pastor for Dr. Miriam Wheeler when she was in Ukraine, has been communicating with the pastors about ways to pray and some of the needs in Ukraine. This is what Pastor Lanya wrote on January 19th. I greet you, dear ones, with the love of our Lord. Martial law continues in Ukraine, and many cities are still being shelled. My brothers and I visit villages in Nikolaev and Kirshen. We see there are many needs. And now especially, people are asking us to pray for them. So pray that God would give them the strength to endure all this. There's also a request for help in repairing their destroyed houses. There are houses that are partially destroyed, and there are homes that are completely destroyed. Please pray for us. Then, this is what Pastor Wanya wrote on January 31st. Greetings, dear brother. Today I traveled to villages heavily affected by the war. Out of 50 houses in the village, only 5 are intact. People are asking for building materials, cement, roofing boards, metal for roofing, and they're asking for help in restoring the houses. We have a place to buy all of this in the city, but it costs a lot of money. This is a big need today. There are 2 families where there are small children, and they live in a house without a roof. I will send photos and videos. This is what Pastor Lenya wrote on January 31st. After the Russians, children find such things in their homes and gardens. Pastor Lenya also wrote on January 31st, today we visited several villages with food, held services, drank tea, and ate cake and sandwiches. Later on January 31st, Pastor Lenya wrote, today I was in Kirshen. Many times I heard explosions over my head. It was hard to be there, and we had to leave. But people still live there, and they have to see and hear these horrors around the clock. There are churches that serve the victims. We bring them food, supplies, and water. In this village, Luzhenberovka, there has been no electricity for 8 months. He ended his communication that day by saying, pray for us at this time. It is very difficult, and we need to show Jesus Christ. This is what Pastor Lenya wrote on March 9th. Good afternoon. Tomorrow the brothers will go to the villages where there were hostilities. There is devastation. We pray for God's guidance and His mercy to help people in need and for His help to tell people about God's love. This is what Pastor Lenya wrote on March 17th. Greetings. By the grace of the Lord, we are alive. God bless. Today the brothers again went to the village of North Gregorievka to help people with their problems. There is still a family there. They turned to us for help, and we bought boards for the roof. Now the brothers will repair the roof today and tomorrow, and in the evenings they preach the gospel and pray with these people. Next weekend the roof will be covered with metal. Pray for this, that the name of the Lord may be glorified. Left in this photo is Oleg, the owner of this house. His wife Natasha is preparing food. Next is Kolya, the deacon of the church, then Ayusha from the church, and Sasha. Sasha is the husband of our sister from the church. He is not a believer, but he is interested in faith, and he is a good specialist in roofs. Without him, it is difficult for us to make the roofs. We pray for Sasha to accept Christ. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for allowing us to all come here today and worship you freely without the fear of persecution. Thank you for Pastor Lenya and his willingness to serve you in Ukraine. Thank you that we are able to communicate with him and receive updates from him. Please help everything that Pastor Lenya asked for prayer for in these letters. Help the cities that are being shelled and just all of Ukraine. Help Pastor Lenya and his group of people as they're repairing the destroyed homes. Help them to have wisdom to share the gospel and help them to be able to have the money they need for roofing and building materials. Help more people to be willing to help them. Help all the specific villages that Pastor Lenya mentioned in his letter. Please especially help the village that didn't have any electricity. Please comfort all the people who live there and help them to be able to get their electricity back. Help all of the victims of the explosions and all of the families who have lost loved ones due to those. Please encourage them and give them your comfort. Help Pastor Lenya and all of the believers in Ukraine to show Jesus Christ to all of the people that they meet and help your name to be glorified there. Thank you specifically for Oleg, Natasha, Kolya, and Ayusha, as they were mentioned in his letter, but also thank you for all of the other believers that are in Ukraine that are helping. Help Sasha to come to know you. Thank you for his interest in the faith and his willingness to help with the roofing. Help him to just be able to see that you're the only true God and to come to know you. Thank you that Pastor Lenya is able to help with everything that he's doing in Ukraine. Thank you for his willingness to serve you. Help us all to be able to serve you as you want us to, and for us to do what you call us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Ephesians 6:19-20. Pray also for me that whenever I speak words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should.
Thank you. It's confusing when you have James as a youth pastor. So. Hello, my name is Seth Patton, for some of you who don't know me, and I go to Johnson's Chapel Youth Group. My testimony will be a little bit different today, because for the past couple of weeks, God has really put something in my life, and showed me that I have a lot of stuff that I need to work on, and this is one of the major things that I need to work on. So, what I will be talking about today is mentioned over 100 times in the Bible, which makes me think it's pretty important. What I'm going to be talking about is self-control. Over the past couple of weeks, through talking with my dad, seeing it in the world, and just a bunch of other things, I've come to realize that, myself included, we all lack a great deal of self-control. I'm sure through most of your life, I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, have done New Year's resolutions. I'm just going to assume that everyone has. And whether it's eating out less, working out more, eating healthier, whatever it is, due to excuses or lethargy, we tend to not last a month. Which that is just one of the biggest examples of self-control and how we lack it. If Adam and Eve had better self-control, I wouldn't be giving this testimony today. The reason self-control is so important is because in Galatians 5:22-24, it says that God says that self-control is a sign of Christian maturity. And in verse 24, he actually specifically says to us that if we are to follow Christ and to follow Him, then we are to put down our passions and earthly desires in the flesh. I'm sure most of you are familiar with the fruits of the Spirit's passage, but just in case you aren't, I will read it for you. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, and self-control. Gentleness and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh, its passions, and desires. Quiet time requires self-control. Praying requires self-control. I see many of the faces today. For all those people, for the past couple of weeks during Dan's service, that came to the foot of the platform and prayed during when he called us to our time of fasting. For those who did fast, that required a great deal of self-control, and I applaud you for that. I'm not just talking to you, because as I said previously, I often lack self-control. Whether it is arguing, losing my temper, or anything of the sort, I show a great lack of self-control, which through the mercy of God, which is the most important thing at the end of the day, I'm working through. We should all strive to show better self-control, because God specifically tells us in Galatians 5 verse 24, and I think if we all show a little bit more self-control, our vices and our sins will not just disappear overnight, but it will make our vices a little bit more easier to control. And it will bring us closer to the lives God has designed for us to live and the way Jesus taught us to live our lives. Thank you for listening.
Good morning. Can you hear me? Hello. Hi. My name's Amelia Garrett. You may know me as that girl that just led that weird group of kids. You may know me as the girl that plays acoustic guitar in the senior praise band, the one that's walking way too fast in the church lobby in heels before the service starts, or the one who visits the dessert table one too many times at church meals. I am all of these things, but I am also a praise band leader, a youth group member, a discipler, a student, and a servant. Moreover, these character qualities were not always the same as they are today. It took time, effort, prayer, heartbreak, challenges, and patience to craft the sinner standing before you today, someone who is nowhere near perfect and still fails the Lord every single day. A few years back, I decided that I didn't need God because I thought He didn't need me. There was a time in my life where I did not seek the Lord. I despised church. I made decisions I knew were wrong. I never opened the Bible unless it was required of me, and a relationship with God was non-existent. This neglect resulted in detrimental physical, spiritual, and mental health. Half of the time, I didn't move from my bed, I didn't get off my phone, I didn't talk to my friends or family, and I practically laid to rot in my room. There were nights where I cried out to God, wondering where He was, wondering why I felt so small and helpless, wondering why He was the one allowing me to go through. Looking back now, I really look like a fool. He was not allowing me to go through that. I didn't seek after Him. I chose to disobey His commands every single moment, despite knowing better, and I hated the idea of someone ruling over me. In 2021, I think it was 21, so forgive me if I'm wrong, our youth group attended Word of Life Bible Camp in Florida. There was a sermon, quite possibly the best I've ever witnessed. Sorry, Dan, if you're in here. On the last night of camp. I honestly don't remember what the sermon was about, but I remember it was extremely powerful, and I don't think anyone in our youth group was not crying. At the very end, the pastor challenged every single person in the room struggling with something to come up onto the stage and wrap a piece of ribbon around a cross. Each ribbon represented a struggle, a sin, a burden, or a habit. With heads bowed and eyes closed, each student was fighting their anxiety to go up on the stage, including me. I was sweating and on the verge of tears, sitting so uncomfortably in my seat. It took everything in me to stand. I walked down that aisle feeling like the whole world was watching me, but only the people on the stage could see me, and they had just made the same decision that I had. I walked up the stairs and I tied that ribbon on the cross. That was a symbol of me taking months and months of defiance and hatred towards the Lord, and not only begging for forgiveness, but putting myself away and accepting it. Uncontrollable tears ran down my face as I embraced my friends around me. The emotion on that stage was more raw and pure than anything that I've ever experienced. In that moment, I prayed to the Lord and pleaded that He would never take me back again to where I once was. From that day forward, I vowed to never return to that life again. I vowed to put my old self away despite how many times she tried to make a comeback. There have been many times where I began to drift away and things felt like they were hopeless again. But just like I asked of the Lord, I've never fallen to that low of a point again. I've often asked God why that time of numbness and drifting was a part of His plan. I never received a written or spoken answer, but I did receive people. So many young men and women came into my life and shared with me their struggles and pains. They told me, "You'll never see me the same," or "You're going to judge me." They would proceed to tell me their stories and their testimonies of the current battles that they face, and oftentimes it was hard not to smile, because in these moments I received the answer to the question that I asked those so many nights. Why is this happening? Why is this necessary in your plan? What purpose will this have in my life? The answer was not only for personal growth, but also because I now had a power that some people didn't, the power to relate. And when you're talking to teenagers battling with suicidal thoughts or tendencies, anxiety and depression, the ability to relate is key. It's one thing to be able to feel for someone or to be sorry for them, but it's completely different to be able to say that you understand. These moments of realization have shown me just how omnipotent and masterful the Lord's will is, and has further proved that no man could ever understand its complexity. These moments have helped me in realizing why what happened to me had to happen in order for the Lord's name to be praised. Not only can I empathize, but I can also nurture these people's relationships with the Lord and educate them on how to forgive themselves and how to understand the reasoning for their pain. I try to thank God as often as possible for the pain that I went through, because through it, His name has been glorified. A very wise young lady once told me, if you are going through tough times and you're living for Jesus, Satan is after you. If you're going through tough times and you're not living for Jesus, the Lord is trying to tell you something. I was indeed not living for Jesus. In fact, I didn't care about Him at all. Now that I seek to live for the Lord, Satan is constantly trying his best to make me feel shame for my past, when in reality the Lord is using that time for so much good. If you as a congregation receive one thing from this testimony, it is that the Lord takes any situation and He crafts it into fit His purpose, but only if you allow Him to. 2 Timothy 2:21 states, "Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the Master, and prepared to do any good work." I challenge you to come before the Lord, have Him cleanse you of unrighteousness, and be prepared to do anything that it takes to bring honor and glory to Him. Thank you.
I would like to thank our youth praise band for leading us in worship through music this morning, and everyone who shared a testimony, the special music that was shared, all the youth that are helping in the back there with the sound and the projection and the lights. Appreciate all you guys and your service back there. I also want to thank all the parents. I thank you for trusting your youth, your teenager, with us on Wednesday nights and the other activities from lock-ins to reverb to camps and mission trips. We appreciate you trusting us with your children. We count it an honor and a privilege to come alongside you all as you disciple your children to be followers of Jesus Christ. And I don't want to forget our youth leaders here this morning. We have just an amazing group of youth leaders. I think they could just take it and roll with it and do everything I do and probably even do it a little bit better. But we have Kevin and Sarah Cooper, who serve along Sarah and me in the high school Bible fellowship class. Then Jimmy and Dee Dee McKenzie serve with Frankie and April Mills in the middle school Bible fellowship class. Then on Wednesday nights, we have Misty Belcher, Jill Garrett, Jamie Jones, Dee Dee McKenzie, Kirsten Pennington, and Sarah Walsh. And for our men that lead, we have Mark Mulder, Nick Cunningham, Lindsey Jones, Derek Belcher, Nick Wiebe, and Daniel Pennington serve. I'm very, very thankful for this group of adults that pour into our youth, that are involved in our lives, that care for them, and that set a godly example of what it means to follow Jesus Christ. And so this morning, I'm not going to be very long, but I just want to share just a little bit about what our goals and our purposes are in youth ministry. And the purpose, the goal of our youth ministry is the same as our church, is to develop disciples of Jesus Christ who love Him, grow in Him, and serve Him. We desire to see Spirit-filled, Christ-like students who are sharing their faith, using their gifts to serve others, and reproducing themselves through discipleship, all for the glory of God. It is our prayer that we'll see students surrender their lives and go into full-time ministry and serve in that way. But it's also our prayer to see students grow up to become, to be just normal people in the workplace who are living godly lives for Jesus Christ, godly moms who are at home raising their families. That also is our desire. So this morning we've seen and heard from the students who are seeking to share their faith, who are using their gifts to serve others. And I know it's been an encouragement to me, and I pray it's been an encouragement to you as well. Amelia made mention of Word of Life earlier. Back in the fall of 2020, we began using the Word of Life curriculum for our Wednesday night youth ministry. And the goals of Word of Life are this. One, that every student everywhere will hear the gospel from a friend. And their second goal is that every student everywhere will be growing in their walk with Christ. And so that just kind of meshes hand in hand with our goal as a church. And so the focus of our Word of Life curriculum is to see our students have a gospel urge. We want them to see that they have wonderful opportunity to be a witness to their family, to their friends, to the people they're around on a daily basis. We also want them to understand the Great Commission and the important role that they play in it. So each year, in order to emphasize that, we spend time at the beginning of each fall going over how to share their testimony, how to share the gospel so that they have those tools and are reminded and equipped to do that. And then we do the Take Five for the Cause each Wednesday night to be reminding them to do that. The other main focus that we have for the students is that they'll be growing in their spiritual discipline and reading the Word of God and praying. So we give them points and things like that as a kind of external motivations, and we're praying that God will create that desire in their heart to pray, to read their Word, to just be close to Him and to seek after Him in their lives. So if I could sum up youth ministry in one short phrase, it would be that our prayer, our desire is that youth of our church would be completely devoted to the disciple-making mission of Jesus Christ. Earlier we heard and saw the great need in Ukraine. Dr. Miriam Wheeler is still faithfully serving the Lord back at the home office there of ABWE and doing great work and just giving her all. But who might God raise up from our church to go to Ukraine and take her place? There are more people needed. We know that there is a lot of need in Ukraine right now, physically and spiritually. What about the 3 billion people of the world who have never heard the name of Jesus Christ? Might God raise up some young people from our church to go to these people? Not only that, but we pray that God will raise up young people from our church to be the next generation to serve in this church. Those of you in our church this morning that serve in so many different ways, we're so thankful for the example you set. But we need this generation, many of whom are going to stay here at home, to rise up and to become the next servants here in our church and in our community. So we need to be praying for these young people. We need to be supporting these young people. And so I'd like to close this morning by reading the Great Commission and reminding us of that mission that God has given to us. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 and following, it says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age.'" The praise band, as you guys go ahead and come up and get ready to lead us in this final song of worship, I want us all to ask ourselves this question, consider this. Is Jesus worthy? Is it worth it for us to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and to follow Him? Is Jesus worthy of all of our love and our devotion and our service? When we stop and consider the cross and all He went through for us there, I believe that we can truly say He is worthy.
Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And truly I am with you always, to the very end of the age." You are dismissed.